Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
It seems that lately, every day, people are posturing themselves for conflict and battle with or against somebody. Seems like almost anybody. The easiest excuse for any of us to go to battle, to engage in conflict, is the difference oftentimes in our perspective, and for some, the way a person looks, their skin, their outward appearance. They may slightly disagree with you, and that would give you just enough to have a reason to say, hey, I'm opposed. Somehow, both of the latter examples are seen as objects of aggression, the way people look, how they talk, their views. Particularly young people are very confused about the idea of where their frustration, their anxiety, their anger comes from toward certain things and certain people. They've heard other people talk about it, you know, the boogeyman. I would argue that many haven't even seen the boogeyman, but just the fear conjured in their mind from others caused them to be on ready to fight against the boogeyman, and he's done absolutely nothing to them. And that's something. Tonight, welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We will be engaging our listening audience in dialogue tonight relative to fighting against one another in society. And our topic is a house divided, a house divided. What happens when a house becomes divided? You know, it's the physical structure where people live and they share residence. Call us here. Thank you, Facebook friends that are following us on the live stream. I would love for you to join the conversation online using your cell phone. All you got to do is pick your phone up and dial this number, 563-999-3617, 563-999-3617. Give us a call, and we'll bring in the conversation. If you're on the podcast platform, feel free to post your question, or on the podcast platform, Block Talk Radio, that would be. BFC Institute is the name of our show. You can just give us a call there, or if you're following this live stream, you can post your question and comments there, and we'll be happy to respond to them and, you know, bring you in a conversation. Thank you, Ms. Patterson. Welcome tonight. Thank you so much for following us there. Feel free to give us a call. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. All right. So I'm going to get into my monologue, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. We've got about another hour or so to go in conversation. Give me about 10 minutes to intimate this monologue. And if you're just joining the show, I'll explain again that the rationale behind the monologue generally, there will be times where we have an open conversation where we won't have a topic per se. We'll just have an open mic format. But for those nights that we have a topic, I like to give some sort of background, some context for what I'm saying, and something that you can go back, check behind me on. You understand? It's often people love, and I do as well, open dialogue, but if you don't have any structure, you can be all over the place. And as the host, it's my duty and my responsibility to ensure that our listening audience gets something out of this conversation. So to keep us all in some frame of thought here, we may be vile and other things, but for the most part, we're here talking about a house divided. I want to use 1 Timothy 11 through 12. And from time to time, we may use other modes of communication, such as music. It could be gospel music. It may be jazz. It may be rhythm and blues. Why that, Dockery? Why that? You're a preacher. Well, I don't have to tell you that if you want to understand the social experience in America, not just for African Americans, but a lot of my white brothers and sisters can identify with rhythm and blues, soul music that shaped our upcoming and brought us to where we are. All right, you can literally tell a story from it. All right, I won't go that much, but that's, we use that. When I say we, I'm talking about me and the Holy Ghost to communicate the best ideas the best way we can. All right, but right now we're going to the Word of God. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12 reads like this. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to go back and put a pin somewhere. Verse 12 starts off by saying, fight the good fight. Now, what that suggests is that there are times where we should be ready to fight to defend the honor and the integrity of certain ideas, certain things that are key to us, that are near and dear to our hearts. So there are times for us to fight now. Don't get it wrong. But the question is, should you fight those who you live in the house with? Who are in your neighborhood, in your community, in your nation, in your city? Is that where the fight ought to be? And I'm going to open up the phone lines to you. We'll get into it. But that's what we want to focus on. I want to share this with you. Back in February 4th, as a matter of fact, a few months before Dr. King was killed, he preached a sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church, and it was entitled The Drum Major Instinct. Now, Tennessee State University, a very powerful and well-known marching band, I understand they got a Grammy Award for their performance. And they, for years, they, like Jackson State and other places, have been well-known for their performance. And you see one fella that leads the band. He come out there and he's leaving. He's the drum major. He's coming. He's getting. He's popping them legs. He's doing that thing. You understand? He makes the band look good. He's out front. King was making reference to in his message was the drum major instinct. He defined that in terms of individual with a desire. And I think this, to some extent, perhaps we all fall under this. You have a desire to be recognized, to be out front, to be first, to lead a cause. There are some people that are called to leadership, just a natural drive, natural instinct. Some are rather timid, and they don't want to be out there. They don't want to speak. They don't want to be in front of people. But then there are others who got that drum major drive, that instinct. They want to be recognized. They sense the need for others to recognize their importance, their place. They want to be validated, right? King recollects that James and John displayed the same mentality, the same behavioral bent, if you will, when they asked Jesus, "Hey, man, you're friends with our family. You know, my mama, my daddy, they feed you. Y'all cool. Do something for us since we're so close. Give me a seat on the right hand and give my brother a seat on the left. Hook us up, Jesus. Recognize us." To them, very simply, "It's not mine to give." If you want to be seen, you want to be important, you want to be great, you want to be a drum major, you've got to demonstrate those natural skills. You've got to be there when it counts. You've got to be willing to make a sacrifice when you ain't going to get credit for it, when the cameras and the lights are off. Huh? Now, I would argue with you, my friend, that what happens is people in society butt heads with one another. Because generally, I think we all want to be praised to some extent. We all want to be recognized, respected, you know, even if we have differences in appearance or views and things of that nature. And that was a time before recently when even people of different ethnicities can recognize that, hey, we got a different way of seeing things, but we can recognize, we can agree to disagree. We get along like that. You understand what I'm saying? We ain't necessarily got to fight one another. I remember the time when I grew up, when, and some of you all may recognize this, you get into a disagreement with someone on the street. If it led to a physical fight, the intention wasn't to destroy one another. No. If you know, they get the best of you, get your tail whooped, somebody will say, "Okay, that's enough. Y'all break it up now." And, you know, you ain't got your behind whooped today. Go on home. Tomorrow, y'all fool around, be friends again. You may become your best friend sometime. You know? I mean, that's the way it went. But now we're at a time where mass media has suggested to young folk that if you have a conflict, you have a difference, you have a vying opinion, you got to be against somebody. Huh? It's not a problem to be for something, and you don't have to be for some and against somebody all the time. You can stand for what you believe in. You know, the devil is the devil. And guess what? He get out now. He does his job well. Perhaps some of us saved folk would do as hard, work as hard as the devil, the world would be a much better place. But anyway, that's another story. I don't want to digress too much. My point is that you do you. The Bible said resist the devil, and he will flee. Get thee behind me, Satan. Go on about your business and be about building kingdom and loving one another, your neighbor as yourself. Briefly before I open up the phone line, some of the things that are characteristic of this drum major instinct, and I wonder sometimes if it's a subconscious thing. People really realize what's going on. It's how you know they got the bug, the drum major instinct bug. They have a tendency to take the position, if we're sharing a space together, you got to follow me. It's my way or no way at all. Huh? That drum major instinct. They demand that if I say or do or give you anything, you got to go and let everybody you know. You know, I'll hook you up. Hey, you know, give me some credit. If you don't give me no credit, we can't be friends. In fact, they become incensed and angry if you don't recognize them. They have a tendency to want to control the whole environment. And it's not easy for them to share the space or the stage, if you will, with others because the fear is I might lose some of this limelight. That's that drum major instinct. Huh? You know, and what it does is cause you to start causing strife and dissension. You pull over here with one cat, start talking about the other cat, right? And you spread a rumor, conflict in the room. And before you know it, everybody looking at each other upside the head. Huh? That's one of the reasons why we're not successful, collectively speaking, at addressing social, economic, political, health issues, particularly in the black community. There are so many people wondering who's on the tape. I got to make sure I get mine and make sure he don't get more than I get. Or I can't trust him enough to put pool resources with him. Are y'all with me? I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want y'all to tell me what you think about that. But my point is here is that these are some of the characteristics, right? This drum major. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing that you possess a drive to be a leader, to be first. But there's a difference in an authentic leader and an assumed leader. Are you with me? There's a difference between an authentic leader and an assumed leader. Well, Dockery, why don't you please tell us what's that difference, sir? I'm happy to do so. The authentic leader doesn't try to do what he does. And he does it well. He or she does it well. And they're not consciously trying to do it. They're just doing what they're doing. And it's interesting to me because I've seen this all my life growing up in a ghetto. There have been some very, very, very talented people who had leadership ability. They weren't trying to do it. They were just good at it, especially on that basketball court, on the football field. Man, they can do that thing. And if you get out their way, boy, they'll take you somewhere. They weren't trying to do that, but they were just good at what they did. Some of them had great speaking skills, and they have the ability to coalesce people and to pull folk together. And guess what a lot of them do? They walk away from their talent, their skill, musical skills and talents, and somebody else take credit for it. They start writing books about what you done and start labeling it and putting their name on it. And before you know it, you're like, wait a minute, hold up. You this man, you wasn't the first one to start that. Michael Jordan tell me they tried to outlaw that young man when he first started because he was doing stuff ain't nobody ever seen, imagined before. See what I'm saying? Leadership, authentic. The difference in that is when you assume that you're the leader. And a lot of times you say you're the leader and you're the only one walking. Ain't nobody behind you. You're just taking a long walk by yourself, that's all. And if we put you behind the wheel, you fool around and drive the whole truck off the road. Help us, Holy Ghost. So the difference between authentic leadership and assumed is that those who authentically are leaders, you don't have to try to make nobody recognize you. They'll recognize it automatically because it's natural. The number to call is 563-999-37. Let me get that out again right. 563-999-3617. I got two good brothers here who I can vouch for, who know how to do what they do, and they do it good. I mean, not only good, but if I could use this word, gooder. That's not a word, is it? Okay, I just coined the term. My good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, and our good brother here, Brother David Lomax, Pastor Lomax. I call him Lolo. You can't call him that. I can't call him that. How y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight?
Good, bro. Good. Good to be here.
I'm all right. All right, Pastor Dr. N. Pastor Lomax. Hey. What's going on,
yes, sir,
man?
Pat Ricky.
Hey, brother.
How you doing, bro?
Good, man.
Before we get off on this conversation, I'm going to say something. These cats clowned out there this past weekend. We put our heads together. Brother Logie brought us together as a leader, brought us together with this vision to start something this past weekend. And it wasn't just with Father's Day, but it was the Fatherhood in Action is what we call it. And I thoroughly enjoyed our fellowship, gentlemen. And had another brother out there on the point. Out there singing, man, and then Lowe started crooning. I said, "Hey, minute, man, let me get in on this thing." So I can't. I just saying, "Oh no, y'all doing too much, man. Y'all doing too much."
Yeah, brother.
Took that thing to the house on Sunday, and bless God, we with the crowd, the number we had there, we had. I believe we met God. So we're grateful for starting. I want to emphasize starting something great. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me shut up now. I didn't ram my bunch already. House divided. Who y'all think? What do y'all think?
Well, go ahead, brother. The opportunity to be able to have that faith, man, it's a powerful tool. And you're up on that corner, man. It's been so much joy to see people when they come by there with expectations, you know, and you can feel the energy that they bring through there to know that there's still hope. And that's one of the things that's needed. You know, we need hope. And it has to do with the faith. You know, you was talking about earlier in the monologue, you said something about, you know, fighting a good fight.
Yes, sir.
And that's the type of fight you have to fight. You have to be rooted and grounded with faith. And when you're doing that, you know, he said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw. And I started drawing power, you know, and when you brothers got together and started singing, man, my goodness, let me tell you, brother, that right there, man, is the power that God proved to us what he can do with those that's willing. And it wasn't anything other than togetherness. You know, you can tell, you know, the power of togetherness. It was a lot of love. It was a lot of great energy for the people. And if you look across the street, you know, Pastor Lomax had those kids, man, I'm talking about over there, you know. And, I mean, they was paying attention because I'm going to tell you how much they was paying attention. You know, their parents allowed them to go out on the porch because she knew that they was in a great environment. And they wasn't going to worry about no harm being done to them, like somebody driving by, you know, shooting and this and that and the other. They had the door closed and the kids was out on the porch. So I'm saying that, you know, it was a great thing to see. And suddenly the kids just sat down for a moment because they heard the power of the music and the songs that was being rendered. And this is what they said. We listening. Now, you know, the baby said, that's what the baby said now. They said, we're listening. And it got to that part where it was listening to the point where after listening, it discovered that now it's time to get up and groove. And that's what they did. And that's what we'd like to see the community do, enjoy themselves, man. So I just wanted to say that was a great thing to see, man. I think what you all brought to the table, man, was what was needed. Singing a happy song.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, we I would say this, we all have gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we might not have the same gifts, but we have a gift.
And
gifts are not toys to play with. They're not things to do battle with. They're tools to minister with.
That's
what God has given us, and we use the gifts that he gives us to minister with. We're not trying to put on a show. We're not trying to entertain people. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to utilize us as his instruments of peace. And when you do that, there is a result. There is a reward for your efforts because people come. And that's what I see.
Right.
I've seen people waving, people stopping, people walking up to us, you know, and kids dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And the atmosphere on that corner was joyous.
And when folk
hear and see that, they want some of that. They don't know how to get it, so they come to find out how. And we tell them.
Right.
We let them know. And that's our job.
Man, that was it.
Yeah.
Well,
why is it then that, and this kind of speaks to some of the conflict in neighborhoods, particularly among ourselves. When I say ourselves, I mean Afro-American, Negro, Black, colored, however you want to put it, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about me, the record just called me Nappy Head. You know exactly who you're talking about. Then. Why is it then that, is there a fear that we can't share the floor or we can't share the environment? Or is that because something, and I think I know the answer to it, something or somebody has created this narrative that you can't get along. You can't trust him. He gonna take your stuff from you. Can you all speak to that for me?
Well, to me, it's you're a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if your environment is not attuned or is not educated on basic things, and there's
okay.
a frustration because you can't, your intellect won't allow you to have a conversation. You can't put what's in your heart in words because you haven't taken the time to go to school, to study the English, to study, you know, the things that you need to make it in this world. You need to utilize. Somebody said a long time ago that a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
that's
yeah.
what we see in our communities, unfortunately. We see a lot of wasted minds. But it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity
right.
for us to get in there and tilt those minds in a different direction because they're vulnerable to Satan. But if we introduce the power of God to them, then Satan ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Have y'all ever seen this dynamic, this social dynamic? Fella come in the crowd, in the group, real loud and rambunctious. And largely that's because they're afraid that if they don't, they'll never be heard and they'll never get to fit in. So they got to start
right.
early, putting their
dominating.
Have y'all ever seen that dynamic?
Yeah, we call that the alpha approach. Woof 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 woof. You know,
right.
All bark and no bite, but you know,
yeah.
And it makes it difficult for you to even hear. The next one, you know what I'm saying? They have something that can help you. But because
mm-hmm.
you're so self-absorbed, it's really the Greek god Narcissus was a god in the Greek mythology that stayed in the mirror all the time praising himself. And he couldn't see nothing or nobody else, right? And everything
mm-hmm.
he said or did had to evolve around him. And basically, it calls him to, because no man is an island that can live alone anyway, right? And so when we think about moving forward, we're talking about going out here, gentlemen, and we're talking about walking in the belly of the beast of the streets where we know the problems exist. We don't want to go where it's easy. We want to go where the problem is, right? Now, in doing that, we've talked about this before, Pascual, in doing that, there's a certain recognition that must be had, and to the fact that those individuals that you say you want to help, it may not be easy. They may not believe in themselves. So how do you go and help somebody that don't even believe in themselves? Huh? What you mean you don't believe in yourself? They don't believe that they can do better socially, economically, even leave the environment, the physical environment at the end. Many of them never have. So how do you do that? Can somebody speak to, in your mind, what's yeah. Of course, I have some ideas, and I think I know that's what we're doing. We're trying to put it all together so that we can be effective, right? But we got to recognize,
right.
how do you help convince somebody who don't believe in themselves to believe in God?
Well, you know, the atmosphere.
I'm doing that.
The atmosphere. I could hear you. It faded out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was being silly. I said I was throwing that question to you.
Yeah. The atmosphere of togetherness, you know, it was in the air. And when you put in the air togetherness and it starts to flow, it'll reach. And it would give a person a chance to ask themselves the question, you know, is it fair for me to stop by there? Is it fair for me to stand far away and listen? Or should I just go on as I have been doing? Well,
okay.
The reason why we taking it to where it need to be at. And that's outside of the building. And
right.
You'll never know until you display that, and that's what's been going on. So what I stand on is that it works. It's not something that'll go out and then come back void. You know, and that's the way I've always went at it. And it's something about when you put something out there that's not familiar. And when you're talking about a generation as of the generation now, of course, years and years and years ago, I'm sure that they used to have tent revivals and things like that. That was probably popular back then, and then all of a sudden it's faded away. However, I only know that in my experience, reaching out is a lot better than not reaching out. That way is preparation for those who may be standing from afar or looking from afar, riding by, and it's just something about it, man. He said, if I be lifted up, that's what the scripture says. He said, I'll draw all men's souls. So our purpose is to do as he said, and once we do that, the time frame is something that is valuable. Once it starts, you go through, and then you find out what a difference a day made. So as we discovered, that was a difference in that day on that corner, you know, for the people.
Yeah.
And souls were lifted up. You know, there's no telling who, you know, has been lifted up, and because it's out there. It's, you know, people out there on Facebook have seen you all assembled, and they've seen the way you all brought forth harmony in the singing, and you can tell it wasn't anything other than togetherness. That's what I'm saying. And when you bring forth togetherness, man, you get some things done, man. When nobody's selfish out there, everybody was on the same accord. And when you put something like that in the air, oh my, that's all I can say, man. It's just keep it right there and watch what God will do as a result of that. You know, if you want to please God, walk in togetherness.
Okay.
Heart. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Was that you, Walter Lomax?
Yeah, as that was me still talking, there, you're saying something about some may say and think that it can't be done, but the scripture, according to the scripture, it says it can.
Yeah.
That's what I stand on, man. It's, you know, it's needed. It's needed, greatly needed. And it's in motion right now. So just be encouraged.
Absolutely.
And let God continue to work. And, you know, we just know that it's already in motion. So that's the good part.
Sure. Well, Brother Lowe, what do you think? How do you convince a man or woman who don't believe in themselves that is worth trusting God or someone else for that matter.
I try my best to become like them.
Wow.
I've learned to esteem. Someone taught me a long time ago, if you look up to everybody, you'll never look down on anyone again. And so
I love you.
And so I've learned that people aren't as dumb as we think. They know the difference between what is fake and what is real.
That's right, brother.
And if they don't feel comfortable around you, they're not going to, they'll watch you from a far distance, but they'll watch you to learn what not to be like.
I see.
Exactly.
But when God has captured your heart, you see, it's not you they see. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. They see it, and me and you can't see it within each other because we're in our zone. Their eyes are beginning to open. It opens up their spiritual eyes, and then they start seeing the joy in us. And like I said again, they want some of it.
They
want that joy they've seen out there on that corner.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
How do you guys get that? How do you keep it with all this going on around you in this environment? People killing each other. How can you smile? How can you praise God? Because it's in my heart.
In
my heart, see? I can't help myself. Somebody wrote a song, I can't keep it to myself. Can't hold my peace.
What I'm hearing you say is that perhaps it's not all the time telling people what to do, but modeling for them what's expected, right? And that perhaps, and I'm hearing you suggest that's what makes them comfortable with hearing anything else you got to say. They can see that you're genuine, right? Not only stuff.
Right, and approachable.
Yeah.
Approachable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask this hard question then. Can I do all what you said and not necessarily have a big Bible under my arm and a cross around my neck, blinding folk with the sun? Is that possible? For me
if you can recognize that you're a seed planter, you're not you're not comforter in chief. You're not the most educated intellect orator on earth. And so when you meet people, you meet them on their terms. Where are they at? And stay there with them. And help them to grow.
Wow. Now, you're in the text tonight. First Timothy 6:11. That's what the writer said. He talked about in the end of that verse, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's what I'm hearing you say. That's exactly what I'm hearing you say.
Right.
Go right here.
We also need to stop making people think they got to do something to be saved.
That's what scares
people. They think they've got to come to the church in a certain way. Go ahead.
I see. Now, explain that to me a little bit more now. Break that down to me like I'm 3 years old.
There is only one qualification for salvation. There's not many. There is one. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess that he is Christ and confess your sins and you'll be saved. That's the only qualification in the Word of God. Then you learn how to walk with God. You can't do anything. You cannot please God without faith, and you must have faith to be saved.
Okay.
So people think they've got to – I've talked to people, once you come to church, I ain't got no church clothes.
Right.
You know, there's always an excuse, and because they're uncomfortable, because they know what they experienced when they went to church the last time. People looking at them funny. People look at them like they don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
We got to let folk know that you are God's creation, not mine. And he has no respect to persons. He don't love me no more than you because I'm a pastor. He just gave me a different job to do.
That's interesting, you say. I distinctly recall experience like that, Rev. Pastor. I was on 11th and 10th, I'm sorry, and off of 10th and Buchanan Church there. Both came by there, and I invited him to come in. He said, man, I'm dirty right now, and I smell. I said, you know, don't worry about that. He said, but I smell. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna give you a towel, and you go down in the bathroom and you freshen yourself up, and you come sit there. He sat there for about 15 minutes, Wallow. I appreciated the fact that, and he sat on the bench all by himself, man. Sat there for about 15 minutes. I wanted him to understand, like my brother's saying here, that it's not necessary you come in any particular way. You understand what I'm saying? We'll get to that. We'll get to the rest of that. But right now, you need to know that there's a place for you. You're at home, you know?
Right.
You don't have to try to keep nobody else around there.
Right.
So,
right. And once you're saved, you're saved. You don't have to work, put your money in, be at church every Sunday, hoping you'll get to heaven. I get tired of folks trying to get to heaven. I thought you were saved. What are you trying to do? You can't do nothing to get into heaven. Jesus did that already.
Yeah.
But we try. We always try. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Finn. No, go ahead, Finn.
No, I'm going to listen to your argument, sir.
I was going to say, I would argue, gentlemen, one of the reasons people, and when I say house, I use that generically in terms of a place that whether we want to be or not, we're together. Because you live on the same block, but you live in the same area or neighborhood, whether you want to or not. You got to deal with folk that drive up and down your streets, that throw bags or food out, or if they do that, you understand what I'm saying? You got to deal with cussing and folk counting and what have you. That's where you live. That's where we live,
right?
A house divided. I would argue that one of the reasons we're so divided is because we don't agree. The scripture said, how can two walk except they what? Touch and agree, right? What is it that we agree on? We agree that life is valuable for all of our people, all of our residents, rich, poor, for better, for worse. We agree that we must hold one another accountable in love. See? We agree that in order for us to survive, to thrive, there must be some common, idea that we all share to look out for one another. Our babies are precious.
Right.
Some happen to one of them, it happens to all of them. The house got to be on one accord if it's going to stay together. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody help me with that. Right. Somebody help me with that. So, I mean, the number is 563-999-3617. If you're watching us here, go and give us a holler. Go and give us a holler. You ain't even got to give me your name. All I do is refer to you by the last four digits of your phone number. That's enough. 777-9311. That's mine. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's what the songwriter said, ain't it? But our conversation tonight is about a house divided and what causes people to be divided. And I'm asserting that when certain individuals have this drum major instinct where they're so big that there's no room for anybody else. It's kind of like a fishing, a little lake, a pond, if you will. And in that pond, you got a big fish that eat up all the small fish. And none of them feel safe, right?
Yeah.
It's better to be smaller fish with other smaller fish than a smaller fish in the in a pond with a big fish that's greedy. We have to get rid of that mentality. And if we're going to thrive, now, when we go out and we meet these folk, we're not just talking about dealing with young folk. We got to be prepared to deal with their parents, their fathers, their mothers, their aunties, and everybody else, cousins, and other folk that are bystanders, right? And the truth of the matter is, when we are deliberate about that, we're consistent, and when we present ourselves in such a way that folk are not threatened, but they see the genuine nature of our presence, of our purpose, our cause there, it's easy for folk to say, okay. Now, one of the things tonight is that we never got a chance to have choir rehearsal, Pastor Wally.
Mm-hmm.
You were facilitating the Friday night, but and we didn't even have choir rehearsal on Sunday either, Lope. But
not even a musician.
No, didn't even have a musician. But we all on one accord. And what it speaks, gentlemen, is the authentic nature of leadership. And I see what Jesus meant when he was talking to James and John. He let them know, not about your affiliation, as somebody said earlier, not about your material wealth and what you can bring materially. That ain't important. That ain't important.
Yeah.
What's important is that you be a servant and be willing to serve. That comes with sacrifice. How many of y'all know that comes with sacrifice? You've heard the text, the harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers. You can't find no workers, man. Where all the workers go,
right.
Lope? Where the workers go?
I don't know, man. Everybody wants to be a chief now.
Watch out, man.
Everybody wants to be a chief. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants a title. You know, but don't nobody want to do the work after they get the title. We'll tell other folk how to live. You know, what they ought to do.
Is there any hope? Is there any hope for us, in your view?
Yeah. I think we have more in common than we do difference. And I think our differences can be sustained peacefully, as you say, with the agreement to agree to disagree. I've learned to, you know, I can't remember the last time I've had a confrontation because I refused not to. Because I'm not watching the person, I'm watching the spirit.
I see.
And the spirit is the unruly fellow.
Mm.
If you're not careful, he'll draw you into that trap.
Mm.
So when you see people who don't want to hear, don't want to listen, or want to be so different that they don't even want to hear your side of the story, then let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them and let them go. Don't judge them. Don't point your finger at them. Don't think that they're foolish or dumb or stupid, because you don't know everything. But Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, you know. help me so that I don't interpret the wrong way. You know?
That's yes, important.
Okay. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Didn't the Bible say examine yourself?
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
Somewhere in there says examine yourself. Jesus said it, didn't it? Paul said it.
Yeah.
Examine yourself.
Yeah. It is saying it means that too.
Say he meant it, huh?
Yes.
He said he meant it.
You're steady looking at your brother's fault. What about you?
That's right. That's why you have to go out like that. That's the only way to go out, you know, for me to know, you know, that people are out there scattered, crying out, and then to go put them down when they're already down, you know, it's just not something that's fair to them, you know. And
especially when you've been there and know better.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Especially when you've been there and know better.
That's right.
You know what they're...
And, you know, and for many people, the hardest thing is to open up, you know. And I found that sometimes it's best not just saying anything, but to let people be comfortable just in your presence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have any special words or necessarily say something all the time. We can be in the same place and enjoy one another. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not say a word. That's the atmosphere.
It's the atmosphere. That's what brings forth the power of love. You know, something that's not in the streets right now. You know, a whole lot of what we need, it need to hit the streets, man. And once it hit the streets and people start coming out of them buildings, you know, I'm not saying, come on and go over here where I'm at. No, I never do that. But just come out of the buildings. That's all I ask them to do. Go ahead.
Each of us had our own conversion. Do you remember your conversion?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I wanted God, but I was suspect of God because I didn't know it.
That's right.
So it wasn't until I started hanging around folk who knew him and who had a testimony of what he had done to their lives that made me think, well, if he could do it for them.
That's right.
Why can't he do it for me? But I was suspect. And that's what we have to remember. People are suspect of God.
That's right. That's right, bro. Rightfully
and it's
so.
Okay. It's okay to be suspect of God.
It is.
Yes.
No, because God's going to send someone. God will send someone to help get you there to that light so that you can see he's for real. And so he uses people like you, Dr. Dockery, and like you, Walla. He uses people like that who've been there.
Yeah. I mean.
And a testimony can be powerful.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Most certainly.
Yeah. I appreciate. Go ahead. Go ahead, Walla. Go ahead.
I'm listening to what I believe and trust. As we continue to express something that we experienced, and when we experience something, as you know, Pastor Lomax just said, man, you know, we come down to God, man. Some people are just simply afraid, and that's something that's okay.
Yeah,
you know, and that's not something to just play with, and because the mentioning of his name a lot of times. It brings forth that when a person is out there doing everything that they have learned to do, and all of a sudden you're going to say, come to God. Hey, man, listen. I did not go
do
like
what?
That. Yeah, yes. He was mentioned, all right. I appreciate him mentioning him. You know, that was good enough for me. At least he mentioned him to me. And it stayed with me for a long time. But just think if he hadn't mentioned at all. You know,
Absolutely, Pastor. You know, no, I'm in agreement with you there. I think about Adam staying in the garden, you know, and I can imagine how he did that without any observation from the creature. The one that put him there, right? And when the spirit of what called him on the face of the deep, first thing he did is went defensive. And Thomas, hold on, Lord, wait a minute. I'm naked. I'll be with you in a minute. And the first question, Lord, who told you you were naked? Who told you something was wrong with who you are?
Yeah.
Where you get that notion? Well,
sure,
we know
that information.
Who done told you that? Nobody but the devil, the enemy. The enemy got you at a point where you feel as though, as Lomax said earlier, if I don't come in a certain manner, I'm automatically going to be discredited and ostracized from everybody else.
Right.
And exactly right. Where the deceiver wants you, thinking that you're not worthy of the fellowship. That's exactly what he wanted. I looked at that brother. I told him next time I see him, I'm gonna call him. Brother that was out there on the corner with us last weekend. I told Soul, I said, "You Soul, you super bad boy."
Yeah.
He didn't have any hesitation, Pastor Waller, because he was comfortable with the environment that you created there, on that corner. We're on a street corner now. We're on a street corner. And he was comfortable with the environment that was created there for him to just sing freely, speak freely, and let it go.
He did, bro.
What I was going to say. And it made it easy for him to fall in harmony with the brethren, with Brother Lowe and myself. And I thought Wallace was going to talk.
He did. No, bro, I wasn't going to interfere with that. All that you, brother, had going, man. I tell you, I was just enjoying it, man.
Hey, Lo, I got to throw the mic over there in his hand, see what he did with it.
Yeah, man.
That's God's power on stage.
Yeah.
That brother's going to tell some other folks what he experienced with our group.
Them children are going to tell some other children.
Yeah. Them folks that had their windows open but they didn't want us to see them, that's all right.
I ain't got to see you.
It's not me that's trying to get to you. It's the Lord. He's going to get to you. He's going to come through the window.
That's right.
He's going to come through the door.
So
all I've got to do is his bidding. He'll take care of the rest.
Yes, sir.
But I know one thing: if you hang around Reuben Dockery, I know one thing: if you hang around Fat Ricky Waller, one thing for sure, you're gonna get a piece of Jesus somewhere along the line in that conversation.
That's awesome, brother.
That I know.
That's right. That's true, speaking that, brother.
Man, look at it. It's in us.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I hate to cut us off, but this thing going to cut off on. Can we take the next 10 minutes of our discussion here? And we've been talking from the topic, a house divided. How can we keep everybody on one accord so that we can move forward, we can do things? It's all right to want to be important and to assume responsibility. Ain't nothing wrong with that. No. And want to be a leader. But that requires you to be able to work with other folk as well. Let me yield the floor to you, gentlemen, and wrap us up a little bit in this discussion. And we'll have to bring it back next Tuesday. Thursday night we're going to be talking about family protection here on the podcast. But tonight is our community-based discussion there. All right, gentlemen, great conversation, man. Y'all done learned me a few things tonight. Y'all done learned me tonight.
Amen.
What about it there, Brother Lowe? Your final thoughts before we get out of here.
I learned how to minister by listening. I learned to listen to everything. Not just not with spiritual, and I approach everything spiritually. I'm looking for the spirituality in every aspect of life because we are spiritual. God is spiritual.
Go ahead.
Chapter six of Ephesians tells us how to operate down here. We get our marching orders. We get our tools and equipment from heaven to minister down here. Now, if we don't know how to do that, and we go out there on the trail by ourselves without any kind of equipment, have you ever went to war naked? Do you go to war naked?
Watch, Watch it, brother. It's not going to work.
So you have to put on the armor. That means you have to, your armor's in heaven. Go get that armor. Come back down here and do the work of the Lord.
That's right.
Okay. I see you. I see where you're coming from. Okay. Well, Pastor Waller, go ahead, man. Give me about 2 minutes of words to live by before we cut out of here.
Those words of wisdom right there, what Pastor Lomax just spoke about, and it's exactly what we have to have. And when you do utilize it, then others will recognize that, look, what is being offered, they don't have to put up no defense at all.
Right.
Because somebody's standing up for us, and that's what they'll get.
Amen.
And when you got people standing up for you, that means that it's available. You know, it's like you drawing them, because it's, God give us tools to work with. It is so we can reach others by extending an invitation to them and saying in our action that you are welcome, because that's the atmosphere that is flowing. And when you put togetherness in the air, as I spoke on when we first started, it brings forth the power of taking a chance to say, let me see if it's all right for me to draw a little bit closer, because I do have my window up right now, And then suddenly you find them coming out on the porch and then coming across, because that has happened. And, just a great opportunity to see what it's like to minister outside of the building. And I just commend, you brothers, man, and, I just thank God for the people being able to see that. It's well talked about as of right now. I just wanted you to know that it's been well talked about. People enjoy it, appreciate it. And I just have to let you all know that it's not in vain at all. So good job, brothers.
Just let me know when the next one is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. Okay. That's right. That's it.
Yeah, Lord bless
you. We'll do that.
Wow. Cut us off, but time is at hand here. We thank you for joining us for Talk Straight tonight. This show is sponsored by Building Families and Communities, BFC Institute there. And we're grateful for, again, our listening audience on Facebook and those on the podcast, the Blog Talk Radio podcast. We endeavor to be back Tuesday night for another episode. Join us at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And we will we'll leave with this. Order my steps.
Praise the Lord. Start good things all the time.